Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai. We're continuing with chapter 30, the gopis searching for Krishna, Rasa Krita Krishna Vesana. This is text 29. And Shukumuni says, Danya aho ami alyo Govindangri avja rinava Yan Brahmesho Rama Devi Dandur Murd Yaganutaye. Translation. O Sakis. These are different gopis speaking to each other. O Sakis, the dust of Govinda's feet is so sacred that even Brahma, Shiva, and a goddess Rama take that dust upon their heads to dispel sinful reactions. So, of course, we mentioned yesterday, our acharyas say that there's 8 verses of chapter 30, verse number 30 to 38, which focuses on that special gopi who Lalita Sakhi is revealed in verse 28, Anaya Radito Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishvaraham. She is revealed in verse 28 that the footprints that they've discovered is none other than Radharani. And now there's 29, just speaking in general about the dust of Krishna's feet, the Govinda Angri Abja, Abja Reno, like we say Braja Reno, or Braja Raja Reno. It means the dust. Ayinanda Tanushikant Karam, Patitam Vam, Mishambhem Vam, Ado, Kripyatava Padakant, Stita Duli Sadrisham Vichintya, Stita Duli. That's a different duly. Anyway, particle of dust. So Renu also means a particle of dust. At the lotus feet, Abja means lotus. So they're simply glorifying that the dust of Krishna's feet is so glorious that even the devatas and Lakshmi Devi herself, she comes here to Braj every afternoon, which we mentioned before, just to take that dust on their heads to purify their minds and their hearts. So Jiva Goswami Pad, he says on this verse, here on this verse, the opposing group of Sakis speak. Because in verse 28, Lita Sakhi was speaking and she was saying, what did she say? She said this, verse 28. She said, look at this fortunate. This gopi has worshipped Krishna more than any other gopi. And because of that, he's taken her and not us to a secret place. So that's a very clear glorification of that other gopi, that Anaya, Anaya Aradito Nunam. The gopis are saying, Nunam, certainly this gopi has worshipped Krishna much more than any of us. So therefore, she's so favored by Krishna that Krishna stole her away, Hari. Bhagavan Hari, he stole her away to a secret place. Oh, that's nice. It's our Sakhi. We're proud of our Sakhi. We're proud of Radharani. And so Chandravali and her group are hearing this. Then they try to change the subject, divert it from the actual lotus feet of Radharani, which is verse 28. Verse 29 is, this dust of Krishna's feet. In other words, Radharani as a subject arose from the ocean of the Bhagavatam, like the gems and jewels arising, like Lakshmi arising from the milk ocean. So the Adya Lakshmi, the original Lakshmi, Radharani, the greatest of all Lakshmis, the greatest of all Lakshmis, she is arising now in verse 28 of chapter 30 of the 10th canto from the ocean of Bhagavat Ras. This is Bhagavat Rasa Shastra. And it's a samudra, it's an ocean. So the other gopis, they play it down. In verse 29, Padma, Shaivya, Chandravali, they play it down. The dust of Krishna's feet is so glorious that Brahma and Shiva and Lakshmi Devi, they come down here to purify themselves and to relish, because they are so much in anxiety, worried about demons taking over their planets and husbands and wives, anxiety, and all that usually goes on. So it says, Aga. The verse says, Aga. Aganuteye. Aganuteye means to dispel Aga. We have Agasura and Krishna's Poganda Lila and Chatikara. Krishna killed the Agasura demon. So aga means sin, but it has many other meanings. It also means anxiety or anguish or the kind of negative feelings that are generated when people associate too much together. So the devatas and their devis, they sometimes get on edge with each other. So when it says that they come down, that Brahma and Shiva come down to Aganutiye, it's not to dispel their sins, because you don't get to the heavenly planets, what to speak of Brahmaloka, by having a track record of sins behind you. So they have a very clean record. So Aga here, which will be revealed and the purports by the Acharyas, means the anguish and anxiety of everyday life. As Krishna says in Gita, 8th chapter, verse 16, Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avartin arjuna mamo petya tukonte tukale mashashtam, whatever, I think I'm mixing two. But the basic verse is saying, from Brahma loka, Abrahma bhuvana loke, to the highest planet in the universe, to the lowest, all are places of birth and death, all are places of suffering. The demigods in the higher planets, they don't get old, they don't get diseased, and they don't have bad breath, and they don't have bad body odor, and they enjoy like anything. But there's one thing that they do think about, that this will all come to a crashing end. We will die. Abrahma bhuvana loke. So even Brahma has some idea, I've been sitting up here for so many billions of years, but this is my last of my 4 billion years, and I'm getting nervous. So the idea of incumbent death makes everyone nervous. And Prahlad Maharaj, when he was preaching to his father in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, to Hiranyakashipu is trying to encourage the Yuvaraj Prahlad, you should enjoy. You're young, you're only 5, and you're a prince. You should live like a prince and enjoy yourself. Nice music and food and sleep and enjoy. Why are you always speaking Harigata and telling about Govinda and Hari and always meditating on Vishnu? Should go out and play and have a good time. Enjoy yourself. And do all these things. You're young. When you're old, you can think about all these things. Then Prahlad Maharaj, he asked his father, he said, can you please define what is the definition of old age? And Hiranyakashipu gave a very incorrect definition. He said, old age means when you can't hear and you can't see and your teeth fall out and all you can eat is ice cream because you can't chew anymore. You just eat vanilla ice cream 3 times a day and look at pictures of, you know, chapatis on the television. So, and then he said, no, you're absolutely wrong. He said the actual definition of old age is close to death. Janma mrityu javyadi dukkha doshanam darshanam. So these are the four walls we live in. We're born in one wall, and we're diseased in another wall. We get old in another wall. Another wall smacks us and kills us. Death, birth, old age, disease, and death. So Prahlad rightly said that, what is the definition of old age? Old age means about to die, one who is near death. Then he challenged his father, is there any guarantee that I will live any longer than you? 5-year-old children also die, don't you know? Haven't you heard? So you may be 60 and I may be 5, but you can die tomorrow or tonight, and so can I. So therefore, old age means close to death. And as you were telling me, even Hiranyakashipu, he also knew about the difference between Atma and body. He even preaches like that in the seventh canto. He's kind of wise, gets pretty wise sometimes. He understood, and he said, you should do these type of spiritual things when you're old. And he said, no. Komarat achrat pragya Dharmat Bhagavatamiha. Prahlad Maharaj is preaching in the seventh canto. He says, Komrat Acharat Pragya Dharmat Bhagavatamiha. Bhagavad Dharma, you should start Bhagavad Dharma, worshipping Bhagavan or Krishna, Komrat Acharat Pragya. That one who is intelligent, one who has pragya, Prakrishna Rena Gyan, one who has very deep and fine intelligence and discrimination power, it's called Vivek, he should understand, even a 5-year-old child, if he's gifted, if he's a child prodigy, and he's gifted with discrimination and knowledge. It happens sometimes. 6-year-old kids win the world chess tournament. because they're smart. So Komarat Acharat Pragyo. So they even they're smart, so they figure out, well, when I'm 5 years old, I should behave properly. I should follow the path of Bhagavad Dharma. Beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam. So he preached like this. So the demigods know they're going to die. So they come here to purify themselves of their anxiety. And moreover, to take part in Krishna's pastimes, albeit in a very distant way. They're simply archan mark. They can see Krishna and they can get the dust of his feet on the head. It says, Govinda Angri Abja Rinava. Brahmeshu Rama Devi. Brahma Isha. Brahma, the word Isha, Isha refers to Shiva. We have a prayer, we offer prayer that's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita to glorify Advaitacharya. Advaitan Haran Advaitam. Acharya Bhakti Samsanat. Bhaktavataram Ishamtam Advaitacharya Ashraye. I take shelter of Advaitacharya Ashraye, who is the form of devotion. He has descended to display intense devotion to Bhagavan and to teach the path of devotion, Vaidhi Marg and Raghunuga Marg. This is because he's Acharya, so he's teaching these things as a teacher of bhakti and the avatar. Bhaktavataram Ishamtam. And Isham means that Advaitacharya is also Sadashiva. Isha means Shiva. So in this verse, in part of 3, line 3, it says, Yan Brahm Esho Rama Devi. So the Purushas, the universal Purushas, beginning with Brahma, because we're already, the subject of the verse is already Govinda. Govinda can mean Vishnu. Chaturbhuj Narayan or Vishnu, one form is called Govinda, or it can mean the beautiful flute player, that dashing young boy playing the Vamshi. But here, of course, it refers to Gopinath, Madhav, the lover of the gopis, Radhanath. So he says, Yan Brahmeshu Rama Devi, that all the Purushas, beginning with Brahma, the supreme person, controllers of devatas, and then the supreme representative Devi of all the Devis, because Sachi Devi is the wife of Indra, and Uma or Parvati is the wife of Shiva, and they all have their consorts or Shaktis or wives, but the beginning point and the supreme Shakti is Rama Devi. Rama Devi is the name for Lakshmi Devi, so Vishnu and Lakshmi. So she's representative. Her presence in Pada 3 includes all the Devis, all the wives of all the Devatas. They also come down to Braj to purify themselves by the Govinda Angri Abja Rinava. The lotus feet of Govinda, they're bathing themselves with the dust of his feet that is kicked up from the Braja Raj, from the land of Braj, when Krishna walks back with the cows. This is in Aparan Leela, Uttara Goshta Leela. The verse is saying this. So this Jiva Goswami is mentioning this point. He says this verse 29, is being spoken by, says Ali, first line, Danya Aho Ami Alio. Alio means Ali. So the gopis are here. He says, here the neutral gopis are speaking. Actually, the next verse 30, is the opposing gopis. But even here, these are neutral. Neutral means tatastha sakis. They're on the border, like tatastha jivas. So they can be favorable or they can be unfavorable. But the tone of this voice, or the whole idea that these gopis, when they spoke, these tatastha sakis, they took the focus, their speech took the focus away from Radharani's feet, which are glorified in verse 28, Anaya Aradita Nunam. They took the focus away. Oh, Radharani's feet, what a discovery. We found Radharani's feet. And then the neutral gopi said, oh yeah, but forget about that. Look at the dust. This is the dust, Govinda's feet. So now the attention goes to Govinda's feet, away from the beautiful footprints of Radharani. And Govinda's foot dust, Govinda Angri Abja Rinava, the Renu or the dust, the raj, renu, of his feet is so purifying. So all the gopis, the favorable gopis of Radharani, like the Ashtasakis, Lalita Vishaka, Chitra Champak, they're very happy. Oh, they're exalting in the discovery of Radharani's footprints. Only they saw Krishna's footprints. Now Radharani's footprints arise from the land of Vrindavan to satisfy their hearts and thrill their minds. Oh, it's very exciting. Our Swamini is here. Our Ishvari Radharani is walking here with Krishna. How fortunate. So then it could start a whole series of verses and glorification of Radharani, but then a neutral party. Because a neutral party, it's like we have expression, he's sitting on the fence. Sitting on the fence, or like Mukunda Das, when he was with the Mayavadis, he was gung-ho Advaitavadi. And when he was with the Vaishnavas, oh, this is the way, the Vaishnavas. So Mahaprabhu didn't appreciate that too much. So he shouldn't be a fence sitter. We should take our stand, either right or left, positive or negative, favorable or against. So these gopis are neutral. So here they're neutral to negative. You say, oh, let's not go with that. But now, and then you'll see, then it, so it's kind of almost like a match. So it's going, it was, the mood was swinging towards Radharani. Then the next two verses, verse 29 is neutral, and then verse 30 is against, is the opposing. So it went from positive to negative to minus. It went from positive 5 to 0 to negative 5. You follow? Verse 28 is positive 5 for Radharani's team. Then a neutral Sakhi said, wait a minute, bring it back to 0. And now, then next verse is 30. And Jiva Goswami says, the opposing group speaks. And then I want to find out what they say. And then after that, then Radharani's group says, wait a minute, it's our turn. You know. Then Radharani's group strikes back in 8 verses, 31 to 38. And then they... Again, back to Radharani, and those 8 verses are about the special gopi. The special gopi was in 28, and Lita revealed, there's a special gopi here, Radha, Aradi, Anaya, Aradito, Radito, Radha. The neutral party is like a judge. Oh, let's see, it's going on that side. And they're angry, and they're happy. Okay, I'll bring it to the middle. Ah, dust of Krishna's feet is nice, you know. And Lalita and others said, what are you talking about? Govinda's feet. We're just starting to open up the whole reality of the spiritual world by glorifying Radharani. And now you bring in this Govinda angry. Arena, what is this? You know? This is very interesting. You see the psychology and the psyche of these different gopis and in this interaction. These dialogues are meant to be are meant to reverberate in our mind and our meditation. She said, and we're very expert at it when we tell stories, we meet each other. You know, I was here, and so-and-so was there, and so-and-so. Acha? Yeah. And she said this, acha. And then he said that, acha. And then I said this, ah. Then what? And then you said that. What? So we're wrapped in attention, hearing a friend tell us all about the different speakers, and they're, you're recounting what you said and two or three other people said, and the person's listening to you saying, oh, hey, that was good what you said, you know. Oh, why'd they say that? Oh, I don't like her either. You like her? No, I don't like her. Then they go, blah, blah, blah. So this same kind of social intercourse, this conversations that we have on the human level is going on there in a very transcendental and divine form, which is, we're supposed to make that our reality and make those conversations our conversations. And our ears should be hearing that and our hearts should be speaking something. Like we're not going to speak verse 29, and we're not going to speak verse 30. But we may say Anaya Radito Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishvara, verse 28. He goes on, he says, Sri Jiva Goswami Pad, out of great astonishment, and because of the unity created by mutual sorrow, the gopis all cry out together. Radha is addressed as Devi, because Rama, Devi, Ram and Rama, Shama, Rama, Ram, Shama, Sham, Shama, Sham. So Rama means female, Rama. We say Krishna, Krishna. We say Krishna, like many people chant actually, then that's very nice because you'll become a wife of the Pandavas. although they only have one wife, they share the five. Their wife is Draupadi, but she's a great lover and a great devotee of Krishna, so she's called Krishna in the Bhagavatam. You can see second canto or first canto, Krishna. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So it's like we're saying, oh Draupadi, please take me away. Hare, Hare, Hare means to steal, to take away, to draw, to pull out. Oh Draupadi, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna. So Krishna, we're calling. Draupadi says, well, you want me to take you away? You want to be in the Kurukshetra Leela? You want to be in Indraprastha? In Delhi, you don't like the Braj Mandal? Yeah. So Rama, so Jiva Goswami gets right to the point. Who is the Adi Rama Devi? Rama Devi means the supreme goddess of fortune is Radharani. So he's saying here in his commentary in text 29 that Radharani is being addressed as Devi or Rama Devi to indicate her superiority. So this is very nice. So Jiva Goswami says that all the leading devis, all the devis of the universe, the wives of all the great devatas like Brahma, Shiva, etc., and all the devatas, because Rama Devi is there, so all that represents all the devis. So Lakshmi, the wife of Lord Vishnu, and all the wives of the devatas, they're coming to Braj Mandal. What? To get the dust of Radharani's feet. That's what Jiva Goswami says. He says, Govinda Angri Abja Rainava. Govinda Angri. Angri means feet, lotus feet. Abja means lotus. Rainava. Then it says, Brahma Isha Rama Devi. So Isha means Shiva. So Shiva and Lakshmi, they all come down to get the dust of Radharani. How so? Because Radharani, sometimes she holds Govinda's feet. Radharani holds Govinda's lotus feet to her beautiful breasts. And then the kunkum, or the red powder decorating, anointing her breasts, if it comes off her breasts because Krishna's feet are perspiring. Krishna's feet, not Radharani, she's cool. Krishna's feet are perspiring, so his feet are all wet and they pick up all this red dust and all this kunkum reno. So this reno, this abja reno, goes to Rama Devi. So all the devis, they're coming down every day to get the dust from the feet of Radharani. And all the devatas are coming down to purify themselves to get the dust of Radharani's feet. This is what Jiva Goswami is saying. It's because Radharani is the supreme Lakshmi. You know, the Krishna, he says, Govinda Madhi Purusham. So Krishna, he is the supreme of all the different Purushas. Krishna is the supreme. And all the Purushas have some aspect of Krishna, but not of Govinda or Krishna, but not the full representation of Ras or Tattva or power or sweetness. But Krishna has it all, so he's called the Adi Purush. This is the definition given by Jiva Goswami Pad in his commentary on the Brahma Samhita. Generally, we have heard and raised that Govindam Adi Purusham means Krishna is the origin of all other personalities of Godhead. But this is kind of a Christian way of looking at things, because Christians have the idea of beginning and creation. But there's no creation. It's not that Vishnu is waiting to be created. There was Govinda, and then he was playing his flute one day, playing his vamshi. Oh, two arms are nice, but if I have four arms, I can embrace Radharani and Chandravali at the same time. But I don't think they would go for it. They might, you know, fight each other. So then he said, I think I'm the origin, so let me make another form, Vishnu. No. So Jiva Goswami says, Adi Purusha. Adi means beginning, but it doesn't mean beginning, it means supreme. A very interesting enlightenment that our intelligent God brother Bhano Swami has translated into English to open up some new ideas and conceptions of not say open up, but let's say establish more clear understanding of things. Because it's unlimited. So what we knew 10 years ago, we'll know more in 10 years from now. So Radharani Supreme. So as I mentioned, that as Krishna is the Supreme, he's the Adi Purusha, he's the Supreme form of all the different Purushas and all the forms of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme. And they're all aspects of him, or you can say eternal manifestations of Krishna. All the different forms of Godhead, the Ananta Rupam, unlimited forms of Vishnu. And the same way, what is true for the Purusha is also true for the Shakti. Shakti, Shaktiman, Abheda, Mati or Abheda. There's no difference between Shakti and Shaktiman. So Radharani, she's the Adi, sometimes she's described in Sanskrit, Radharani is described as the Adya Shakti, means she's the supreme form of all Shaktis. So there's a little bit of Radharani in Parvati, there's a little bit of Radharani in Sachi, and there's a little bit of Radharani in Lakshmi, but not complete, because Lakshmi, she has the form of a gopi, she's female, she's the most beautiful transcendental personality in the universe other than Radharani, but she doesn't have gopi bhav. She's lacking gopi bhav. So she's seeing, oh, Radharani, she's greater than me. She's supreme to me. So let me come to Braj and do tapasya and Balvan. It's called Bilvavan or Balvan, in order to get the mercy of the gopis. If the Braja gopis are merciful to me and I'm doing tapasya, it's very nice. She's doing intense tapasya. She's the only murti of Lakshmi Devi in all of India that's sitting down in a meditating pose. She's sitting with cross-legged and has Gyan Mudra. That's called Gyan Mudra for meditation. And she's meditating and doing tapasya, hoping that the Brijvasis will bless her with Gopi Bhav. Because Gopi Bhav only comes from a gopi or someone in Gopi Bhav. The Raghunuga Bhakta who's cultivating such a bhav, then he can transmit that bhav to his followers or her followers, depending on the gender of the mentor. So she's also bathing in the dust of Radharani's feet. Very nice insight and beautiful glorification of Radharani. Vilas Manjari is Jiva Goswami, so he didn't want to follow the thread of the neutral gopis that were speaking verse 29 of chapter 30 and take it away from Radharani. Even this verse is glorifying Krishna and everyone's coming down to bathe in his feet. And he says, no, everyone's coming down to bathe in the dust of Radharani's feet. That's nice. One-track mind. Gaudiyas have a one-track mind. A monorail. No, one-track, monorail. Radharani monorail. Mono means one, no? Like that. Some places they have one rail. In this verse, the last line, it says, Mord means head. Aga nutaye. They take that dust of Govinda's feet or Radharani's feet, Rama Devi's feet on their heads. For what? Aga nutaye. Aga means sin. Generally, one most common translation, Agasura, the personification of sin. And Krishna destroys that demon very easily. Even as a child, with his childhood strength, he can easily destroy the demon of sin. So sin, we have so much sin within us, Aga. And Aga, even it sounds like the word, when you see cartoons and it shows somebody getting punched, they go, Ag, Ag. And they write in the English, A-G-H. You ever see? A-G-H-H, Ag, boom, Ag, Ag, Ag. Bang. It says bang, bang, boom, Ag. You saw? So Ag means, so when someone's punching you, then that means you're getting purified of your karma. And some of your sins are coming out, I guess, or blood or something. Because in the Mahabharata, it says when you lose blood, that means your sins are coming out. And there's different examples of that in both genders. So when someone is injured, like Bhishma, he was lying on a bed of arrows, and all his blood was out. And then he was speaking Bhishma Parva, which is the teachings of Bhishma Dev, on Dharma in Mahabharata. At that time, that Krishna that we were speaking about, Krishna Draupadi, she had her sari, or veil over her head, covered her head, huh? And coming over her face. She's looking down because it's a very anguished moment or moments of Bhishma Dev lying on a bed of arrows. And all the heroes and kshatriyas are gathered around. And she was there for some reason also, the way I heard. And she was smiling. And she was smiling. You know this, I told. Maybe read or heard. She was smiling. And then from his vantage point of lying on the arrows, lying on the ground looking up, no one else could see, but Bhishma could see that Draupadi was smiling while he was dying, lying. She was smiling while he was dying, lying on a bed of arrows. And he said, Beta, means my daughter. Oh, Beta, you're smiling at a time like this? And she was, of course, shy to speak. But somehow being a Kshatrani, the queen of, she's a Kshatriya, and she's the queen of the Pandavas, wife of the Pandavas. So she said, yes, I find it somewhat amusing that now you're speaking so much Dharma, but when I was in the assembly hall getting disrobed, then you were quiet. You didn't say anything. So why is that? And then he spoke this, he said this verse. There's a verse also, I was told. He said, the point is, I was connected. I had some bandha, connection, relationship with Duryodhan. And I was eating his food. I was eating with him and dining with him and associating with him. So all of his sins and pop came into me by eating his food, transmitted that way. So all of those sins, I was preventing me from speaking Dharma at that assembly. I could not speak because of my alliance, not only my physical alliance with Duryodhan, but also my mental and karmic alliance. You don't understand alliance, huh? Connection due to eating his food. But now I'm sitting on a pincushion. I'm sitting on a pincushion, and all these thousands of arrows piercing every inch of my body, all my blood has gone out, and with the leaving of all that blood, all my sins have also gone out. So that's why we say if you lose some blood, then some sins are coming out. It's a form of suffering and misery. Blood is supposed to stay inside. That's where it's supposed to be. So when it comes out, that means that some sins are coming out. Suffering is caused by sin. This life, last life, or many lives. Depends. Oftentimes for a devotee, many lives are compressed into one. If Krishna favors some devotees, it's like a movie reel. Usually it may take many lifetimes for the Prabdha and Aparabdha, Kutam and Bijam, four stages of sin, to be eliminated from the chitta of the devotee, in general course of things. But if Krishna is specially merciful, he can clean the whole slate in one lifetime. So Jiva Goswami, he doesn't translate this word aga in line 4 as sin. What does he say? He gives this, as I mentioned. He says that the devatas, like Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, etc., they take this foot dust of Radharani on their heads for three reasons. Why do they take the foot dust of Radharani, which he says Radharani's Abjareno Brahmadevi. They take the foot dust on their heads for three reasons. Now pay attention, this is important. They take the foot dust, Charanareno, on their heads for three reasons. Because they have great devotion. The devatas that we're mentioning, they're also devotees of Vishnu Bhaktas. They have great devotion. And the second reason is to remove the pain of separation from Krishna. Because if you're separated from someone and then you embrace or you contact something that's connected with them, then that can reduce the pain of separation. No? You're separated from someone you love very much, then you're thinking, oh, I have a picture somewhere. I have a picture somewhere of myself with my dearest. Well, that was really nice. Let me find that picture. Then you find that picture. Oh, I remember this picture. We were here and there and this and that. And then you feel some relief, some happiness, some release from the pain of separation. I think you can understand. So you're contacting, whether it's dust from the feet or a picture, it's some tangible reality connected with the one you love. Piece of cloth, a picture. Very powerful. So then the third reason is to remove offenses. Because the devatas, they sometimes, it says in Govinda Lilamrita, when they come down in Aparan Lila in the afternoon from 3:36 to 6 and offer so many prayers to Krishna and Balaram and all the coward boys, especially Krishna, it says that they don't stay long. It says they say they recite their prayers, nastikams, they immediately fly away. And Krishna's coverage says they don't stay long because they're afraid they'll make offenses. You know, they stay too long, they'll start saying, why is Krishna eating with it? One devata will look at the other one and say, why is Krishna eating with his left hand? Krishna, he eats, he carries food in his left hand, and he eats with his foot. He has rice, it says in Bhagavatam, Krishna has rice and yogurt in the palm of his left hand, and between his fingers he has tantuli achar. Small, tiny fruit of Braj Mandal, tantuli. It's small, a pinkish color. They make some pickles. Yes, pickles, you know, pickles like mango pickle, lemon pickle. It's the pickle's big, but the fruit's small. And he has it between his fingers as like, you know, appetizer. So he's walking along with the coward boys, and he's in a demit. This is Brahma. It's in chapter 14, 10th canto, Tikas. Brahma's looking, what is this? This is God. He's walking along with a coward, flute is tucked in his waist, and he has yogurt and rice in his left hand, nice mix, yogurt and rice, maybe a little spices, I don't know. Then he's eating from his left hand with his right hand and taking a little pickle. And left hand is only for the back door. It's not for the front door. You understand? So what to speak of the devatas, he was aghast. He was aghast. What is this? You know. So he's this little dirty little boy, happy Krishna. I mean, you can imagine the viewpoint. So he became bewildered. If Brahma's bewildered, what about us? Some devotees are so bewildered by the whole Leela, they reject it. There's some Vaishnava Sampradayas. They have, in their Bhagavatam, there's no Brahma Vimohan Leela. Yeah. They're pretty prominent in South India in a place called Udupi, if you know what I mean. And there are other places also. But so why? Because this is the head of our Sampradaya. Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya? Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya. And the head of our Sampradaya he got bewildered by a coward boy. We don't buy it. This is some concoction of the Gaudiyas. This interpolation, this has been added. It goes on and on and on. There's two birthplaces of Krishna Mathura. There's two birthplaces of Gauranga and Navadvipa. There's two Gokuls. There's one. There's a Balabhacharya Gokul, and then there's the other people Gokul. So it's a matter of choice. Some people like vanilla, some people like chocolate. So you can pick and choose whichever one you like. Who's right? They're both right. Because in transcendence, and only in transcendence, it's win-win situation. Krishna's all these things. No, but you're contradicting yourself. No, the contradictions are establishing the reality of Krishna. It's the contradictions which makes him transcendental. Huh? Figure that out. Because in other words, Krishna refused, God or Krishna refuses to sit on the tiny insignificant thing we call box brain, linear thinking brain, box brain, length and width and depth. Krishna, first of all, he already exists in dimensions beyond what we live in. He exists in a dimension beyond which we calculate, and he exists in a dimension beyond what we see and measure and think. It's a fourth dimension, consciousness. Length, width, and depth. That's how we measure. How long, how big, how deep, how wide, when did it start, when does it end, what's the middle, how much it weighs. He takes all that. Where is he? Everywhere. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina. Ninth chapter, Gita, verse 4. So he's inside, he's outside. He's big, he's small, he's truthful, he lies. He's dharmic, he's adharmic. He has one wife, he has everybody's wife. What is this man? What is this Krishna? He's blue, he's green. No, he's blue. No, he's green. No, he's white. He's black. No, he's white. Yeah, and it goes on. He's a baby. No, he's grown up. No, he's a young boy. No, he's an old man. No, he's not, never an old man. The philosophers are old men, but not Krishna. 125 years old in Dwarka. Krishna is 125 years old. And his grandson is Aniruddha. Excuse me, his son is Pradyumna. And when Krishna's queens, if he was 125, they must have been 110 years old, right? So when they saw, sometimes they saw Pradyumna, the son of Rukmini and Krishna, walking through the palace. Oh, Dwarkadish, oh, Krishna, they went up to hug him. They said, I'm your grandson. Oh, they couldn't tell the difference between the grandfather and the grandson. This is in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, story of Pradyumna. Because Krishna is Navayovanam, eternally beautiful and youthful. He's 100 years old. He's 125. He looks like 15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days. This is Krishna's exact age. But again, he's older than the oldest and younger than the youngest. He's unborn. He never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Second chapter of Gita. Na tveva ham chatu nasham, na chvam name janadipa. So this is Jiva Goswami's beautiful tika. On 10/30/29, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, he's telling. The neutral gopis are unaware of what Radharani's sakis are perceiving. They see Krishna's footprints and they say that Brahma and Shiva are very fortunate to be blessed by the dust of his feet. And they hold that dust on their heads in order to remove the separation they feel in sorrow from the Lord. That's just, he's repeating Jiva Goswami's. Every evening at about 5 o'clock, Vishnu Chakravarti says, is Aparan Leela, 3:36 to 6:24. Every evening about 5 o'clock, around this time, getting there, Krishna returns from the cow pastures with his coward boyfriends. At that time, the great devatas like Brahma and Shiva come down from Swarga to take the dust of Krishna's feet on their heads. And then he says, why the gopis say this? Why are the gopis saying this? Why are the gopis talking about the devatas coming down? Why are they saying that in the middle of the Ras Leela? It seems out of sync. It seems apasiddhanta. What does this have to do with Ras Leela? Okay, Krishna's feet and Radharani's feet, and we're missing them, we're in separation. But enter the devatas with all their Aishwarya and all their fighting and all their pride and all these things that they exhibit and have. And they're ruling the universe, but we're not dealing with ruling the universe. We're dealing with the movements of love. We're dealing with the movements of love, and we're separated from our beloved. It seems out of context. It doesn't seem to mix. So this point is brought up. This question is raised by Vishnu Chakravarti. Why do the Brajagopis say this? Because they are thinking. We see, gopis are thinking, This is, again, Vishnu's expertise. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to say, and he knows what you want. That's like the super soul. So somehow he's been empowered by the super soul. Satam Sangato Riddhi Me. In that verse, this is, we were mentioning, I think, before. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Sartha Darshini Commentary, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and the end of chapter, 83, I forget, Shruti Stuti, the prayers by the personified Vedas, that's called Shruti Stuti, the prayers of the personified Vedas, great rishis and sages. In his commentary, Vishnu Chakravarti, he says, Satam Sangato Riddhi Me. He says, I have been able to reveal these secrets. I have been able to reveal these secret conversations and these secret thoughts. What are the different devotees in the Bhagavatam thinking? What are they feeling? What are they speaking to one another? What is Krishna feeling? What are the gopis feeling? What are they thinking? What are they saying to each other? I've been able to reveal this and write about this in my Sartha Darshini because of Satam Sangato Riddhi Me, because of the association, Sangato, of the Satam, the association of the great saints and the great devotees within my heart. Riddhi means heart, and Me means in. Satam Sangato Riddhi Me. This is in Sartha Darshini, and his commentary at the end of Shruti Stuti. Excuse me? Chapter 87, right near the end of the Bhagavatam, 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, which ends in chapter 90. So this is an interesting point we mentioned before, that all of us, like Vishnu Chakravarti, or at least not like, but trying to be like, we're all devotees of Radha and Krishna, especially Radharani. So we can also hope and pray that we will also have the association of great devotees in our heart. We associated with them outside of our heart, physically, or either through their teachings and through studying their books. And we hope that their teachings enter deep in our mind. And we hope that they themselves personify. We hope and pray that Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada and our own devotees and all the great saints we've associated with, we hope they all move into our hearts. Satam. In third canto of Bhagavatam, Satam Prasango Mama Virya Samvido. And they'll give us Mama Virya. They will give us great strength. Virya means strength, power. Make us courageous. Virility. Virya. Virya Ras. They'll make us courageous in the struggle for existence and make us strong in the battle against Maya. And moreover, they will direct us and give us inspiration and enlightenment and encouragement and hope and revelation, or prerna, inspiration, by which we can progress peacefully and happily and quickly on the path of bhakti bhajan. Satam Sangato Riddhi Me. So the beautiful idea and conception is being revealed by our Mahajanacharya, by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So this verse, the Dattasta gopis are speaking, neutral party. They're using some very heavy words here in the last line. They say that Shiva and Brahma and Lakshmi Devi, they come down to take the dust of Krishna's feet, Govinda Angri Abja Renava, to dispel Aga Nutaye, to dispel their sinful reactions or their sins. But they don't. Lakshmi Devi doesn't have any sins. She's made of prema, by Vaikuntha prema. So how is it possible? So Vishnath is saying that, why are the gopis saying this aga? Because aga generally is translated as sin. When someone is completely made of sin, nothing but sin, inside and out, he's called aga, or like aga. So aga, A-G-H-A, aga, agasur. He was so sinful that the only suitable body that he could adopt to slither into Vrindavan was the body of a snake. So he came as a snake. Because that's such a low and sinful, envious form. Because there's no greater sin than envy. That's the greatest sin. Every other sin can be overcome. That's why we said when chanting, when churning the ocean of the holy name, and we're chanting Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadav Agni Nirvapanam, we're chanting Krishna's holy name. The first product that comes out of that churning of the ocean, as we see in the eighth canto of Bhagavatam, when the devas and Asura and Sur, the devotees and non-devotees of the universe, they were churning the ocean. The first thing that came out was poison. And Shiva drank that poison, Kalakuta poison. So the same thing when we're churning the ocean of our hearts, churning the ocean of our chitta, of our subtle, our personal Akashic records, let's put it that way, our stored everything. First thing that comes out is envy. And that may haunt us for lifetimes. It just doesn't leave us. We try our best. We keep churning the ocean and just more poison keeps coming out. At least we're not in a snake's body yet. There's a chance, though, if we don't throw off that skin, if we don't slough off that snake skin of envy, we may be slithering in that body in next life. It's a very dangerous anartha, most unwanted, but very prevalent in Kali Yuga, very prevalent. Because envy is the antithesis of love. Envy and hate are like brother and sister. And as you know, that's quite popular these days, hatred. Because you can't fight unless you hate something. You hate yourself, or you hate someone, or you hate something. So the Aquarian age of love, peace, happiness, very ideal, sounds good. But the reality is far from the ideal. So why did the gopis say this? Because they are thinking, this is how the gopis are thinking, Vishnath is revealing. Why are they saying, Dadur, Murdna, Yaga, Murt, Nuteye? Why are they taking the dust of Krishna's feet on their head? And literally it says to dispel or remove or destroy their sins, Aga. But he says, the gopis are saying this, they're thinking, we see with our eyes that the devatas are coming down to this Brajabhumi in the afternoon, 5 o'clock. And they're offering obeisances. They're offering obeisances to Krishna's foot dust. But we cannot do that. We're moving everywhere. We've been following, seeing Krishna's footprints. But we can't do that. Like, they can do that. They're very fortunate. But we can't do that because of the restraints of modesty. Because of our lajja, or our shyness, we can't do that. Consequently, we are sinking further into sin. That's an interesting point. So the gopis they're not saying, actually, although externally, it's something called parokshavad. The implied meaning, there's the explicit meaning of the statement and implicit. You read the statement, externally it means one thing, but internally it indicates it means something else. So they're saying externally, the devatas come down to bathe in the dust of Krishna's feet and the Brajaduli and Goduli and the Charanduli of Krishna to dispel and destroy and remove their sinful reactions. But actually, that's not the fact. What the fact is that we can't do that. And because we can't, because of shyness or something's holding us back in shyness, we can't offer our obeisances and bathe in the dust of Krishna's feet. Therefore, we're sinking further into sin. The aga, in the last line of this verse, it refers to us, the gopis. Of course, they're sinless. They're made of prema. Their entire existence is made of mahabhav, prema. There's two types of mahabhav, ruda and adiruda. So all the gopis, they have ruda, mahabhav, and some they have adiruda, especially Radharani. So they're feeling so fallen like that. So you can, it's an interesting point. You can draw, at least I'm drawing, from this point of Vishnu, is that sometimes we know what we should do as a devotee. For example, pay obeisances. But there's something inside of us that holds us back. And what is it? It's back to what I just said. It's envy. We see some exalted devotee or some great Vaishnavi or Vaishnav, and we want to show our respects, and we're thinking we should, but then it's, no, I'm not going. I won't do that. It's a different angle, obviously, way far removed from the gopis' thinking and feelings, and their self-effacement, and they're criticizing themselves. This is a nice point also. Generally, we're very expert at criticizing others and finding faults with others. But the gopis are saying, oh, we're faulty. There they are. How faulty they are. They're in the middle of Krishna's Leela. They're in the middle of the Ras Leela. And they're thinking, oh, we're fallen. We're too sinful. I wish we could bathe ourselves in the dust of Krishna's feet. And we're simply, they're seeing him. The demigods, devatas, when they come down, they're seeing Krishna. And they're speaking to him. And he's looking at them, and he's listening to their prayers, and they're bathing themselves. But we don't even see them. So why don't we see Krishna? Why doesn't anyone see Krishna? Because if they don't have prema, it's because of sin. When all the sin is gone, and all sun is gone, and all, when then the prema has a place to move. And the Bhagavatam says, prema, if we surrender to Krishna, and we hear about Krishna, especially as Ras Leela, then the prema will come in the heart and throw away all these, ridrogam, kamam ridrogam, acharini apinoti. So it'll clean the heart very quickly. First the prema comes in the heart, then out goes all the lust. So the whole keynote, or the whole focus of Krishna bhakti is that to attain bhakti and attain bhav and attain prema. If bhakti comes, everything comes. Everything good comes and everything bad goes. First canto says that Vasudeva Bhagavati says that by doing Vasudeva Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti, one gets knowledge of Krishna, and becomes detached. Detached means you get free from your anarthas. Detached means you get free from your aparads. As long as anarthas and aparads are attached to us, that means our bhakti is weak. As our bhakti strengthens, and what does it mean, vairagya? That verse is there, first canto, chapter 2, Bhagavatam. Vasudeva Bhagavati, jnana vairagya, hoitaki, whatever, I can't remember. But jnana vairagya means detachment. It doesn't mean you wear a langoti in a kofin and go around with a begging bowl. Rade, rade, ma, madhukari baba. No, detached means to become detached from that which is preventing Krishna Sakti. Krishna Sakti is a preliminary stage of bhav. Being attached to Krishna is a sakti. And then bhav, then prema. So the goal is prema. So this is what the gopis are saying. Oh, we're not good. We're aga. But do we ever say, I'm not good, I'm full of sin? No, I'm very pure. I'm very sattvic. I'm very, very advanced. And the gopis are saying, we're poppies. Poppy means a sinful person. Aga means pop, sin. Okay, so this is text 30 of chapter 30 of 10th canto. Tasya muni na shobham kurvant yuche padani yat yaka parita gopinam raho bhunkte achutaranam. Lakshyante padanyatra tasya nunam shinakure kidyat sujat tangritalam uninye prayasim priyaha. Translation. These footprints now, again, as I said, from verse 30 to 38, or 30, excuse me, 37, 38, these eight verses are all about that special gopi. Now we're reflecting. This verse is reflecting back to 28, where we said, Anaya aradita, aradita, Anaya aradita nunam, Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. But they're reflecting, but these are the anti-party. But at least even the anti-party is forced by Yoga Maya to go back to Radharani. The neutral party forgot about Radharani's footprints and started talking about Krishna. Now, as the Tikas will tell us, commentators, this is an opposing party. What do they say? What's the translation? These footprints of that special gopi greatly disturb us. Of all the gopis, she alone was taken away to a secluded place where she is enjoying the lips of Krishna. Look, we can't see the soul, her footprints over here. It is obvious that the grass and sprouts were hurting the tender soles of her feet. And so the lover lifted up his beloved. Now, what does Jiva Goswami say about that? Let's see. He says, the opposing group of Sakis, opposing means the rivals, the anti-party, Virud in Hindi, Virud party, enemy party, Vipaksha, against my group. Who are they, pray tell? Don't say. I'll say on behalf. Chandravali, Shaibya, Padma, etc. That's enough. Three's enough. The opposing group of Sakis say, these footprints give us great pain, sorrow. She took Krishna away for private enjoyment. He has given us up and come here because she has used some magic powers to bring him here. In other words, Krishna first came, we all met him at the beginning of the Rasa dance. We're all walking with him. We're all enjoying his beautiful intimate association, seeing together and holding each other's hands and arms and embracing and enjoying intimately together, singing songs and so many things. And then suddenly he left. I think this girl, this other gopi did some jadu. She did some jadu, which means magic. Or she has some magic dust, some kind of dust she threw in his face, and he got bewildered and she led him away. That's otherwise, why would Krishna leave me? Yes, yes, Chandravali. And why would he leave me? Says Padma and Shaivya. It must be some trickery. She wasn't playing fair. She didn't fight on equal terms. It wasn't our beauty. And she didn't. We're beautiful. She's beautiful. But she used some extra trick to win Krishna's hand. It's not Krishna's fault. He would, if it had his way, he'd stay here with us. Really? He has given us up because she has used some magic powers, some yogini. She's some tantrini. There's a tantric and a tantrini. It's a female tantric. Watch out. They're dangerous. She has used some magic powers to bring Krishna here like a thief. Otherwise, why would Krishna come here? Now that one is enjoying his lips, which actually belong to all of us. And he does not give her up. That's why in the verse, the word is there, achuta. It says, achuta dharam. Dharam, I'd say vamshidari. Dharam means hold. And adharam means he's not letting go. Achuta dharam. Achuta dharam, he's not letting go. And it also means dhara, means also lips also. So there's a kind of a play on words here, the anti-party is saying, because they're speaking this verse, chuta dharam. He bewildered, that gopi did magic on Krishna and led him away from us, and now he won't let her go because he's under her spell. She put a magic spell on him. So that's what they're indicating here. Vishnu steps back and makes a comment. He does not give her up. Out of envy, they surmise, talk about envy, right? Out of envy, they surmise that Krishna lifted her up. That's according to Sridhar Swami. Because they saw Krishna's footprints without the footprints of that gopi. Or the second part of the verse is spoken by Radha's friends. because Radha's feet were injured by the sprouts, her dearly beloved Krishna lifted up this dearmost gopi with his hands. So that, because as I said, there's two parts to this verse. And it's, the first part is, oh, that these footprints disturb us. Of all the gopis, she alone was taken away to a secluded place because of using jadu or magic, and she's enjoying Krishna. And then, because it's eight lines, so Jiva Goswami is saying so the anti-party speaks, and then Lalita speaks, or Vishakha. No, but actually, it's not like that. Radharani, you only see Krishna's footprints because Radharani, her tender, delicate feet, they're so soft, they're softer than butter. This is a sign of a Mahapurush, or a great personality, have very soft bottom of the feet. Like the devotees used to massage Prabhupada's feet and his whole body. And he said his bottom of his feet, the bottom of Krishna, that's also there. The bottom of Prabhupada's feet were like the cheeks of a baby. You know cheeks? Pretty soft. Very soft. And like that. So that's his feet are like that. What to speak of Radharani's feet? No one cannot conceive. We want to conceive. We want to meditate on. So then, but the second half of the verse, Jiva Goswami says, this is the favorable part. He's saying, oh, Krishna, look how Krishna's favoring this gopi. That, oh, your feet are hurting. Oh, and so now first they're saying, oh, this gopi left. She used jadu. And then the leader says, no, it's not like that. You know, it's actually, you don't see her footprints because her feet were hurting. And she's so special that Krishna picked her up, not you, and not us, and took her away. And so this, so each gopi is trying to rub it in, you know, the other one, you know, like grind the other one a little bit more and more. It's very nice. It's really catty. So they're really pinching each other. Common, the center is the same. Krishna is the center of everyone, but they're, Radharani's team is cheering for her and glorifying her, and the other party is putting Radharani down. So it's very wonderful exchanges here. This is Vishnu Chakravarti's comment on verse 30. I'll read the translation again. Let's see what read Prabhupada's translation this time. But at the same time, the gopis are saying, but at the same time, we are very sorry to see that this particular gopi has gone alone with Krishna. For she is sharing the nectar of Krishna's kisses and leaving us aside to lament. Oh, and then other gopis speak, oh, friends or sakis, just see, at this particular spot, we don't see the footprints of that gopi. It appears that because there were some pinpricks from the dried grass, Krishna took Radharani on his shoulder. So Prabhupada gets right to the point. And the BBT, because the verse doesn't say Radharani, only says some special gopi. And then that's a literal translation. But Prabhupada, he added his purport there and said, Radharani, remember. You remember? When Prabhupada was a young boy, his father was a very religious person. So he knew that in order for the Grihasthas to dispel the five imperceptible sinful activities involved in Grihastha life, they're supposed to perform the Pancha Yajna. The Pancha Yajna, this is in traditional Vedic society. This is told in the Puranas. So the Pancha Yajna, five forms of sacrifice, which counteract or neutralize the prayaschitta, atonement, and remove the negative reactions and sins that are incurred in grinding spices and breathing, walking, and cooking, etc. And so then one of them is, of course, to do a fire yajna every day. Another one is to donate to Brahmins, give some charity to Brahmins. And the third one is to feed guests, to offer food to guests. This is called, I forget the term just now, but giving food to guests means not your wife and children or your uncle or brother. It means just some sadhus going by or whatever. So it's told in the biography of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada that his father, Sri Gaur Mohan Day, when he lived in Calcutta and Taliganj, which is southeast Calcutta, he used to, his wife would cook, and then he would go outside and look here and there if there's any poor people or any sadhus. He said, please come to my house and take some food. So it says, every day his father was feeding some saintly persons that were traveling through the Calcutta on their way to Puri or Navadvipa, places like that. It's a transit place, trains and whatnot. So many sadhus and holy people move through there en route to some other place. So he, at that time, when those sadhus would meet and take Govindaji Prasad in the house of Abhay and his father, Gaur Mohan Day. And Gaur Mohan Day, as per the standard and tradition, when you meet a saintly person, then you ask for something. If you meet someone who's wealthy, then you ask for a blessing. So a man who has money, then you ask for a blessing, may have some money. But if you meet someone who has knowledge, you say, then I have some knowledge. Or you meet someone who's a great yoga teacher, or a great yogi, oh, can you teach me yoga or pranayama? So you meet a sadhu, a godly person, and then you say, please bless me with Krishna. You have Krishna's in your heart, and you're carrying Krishna in your heart. So please think fondly of me, and please bless me. So this is what the saintly vairagis and sadhus, when someone asks for blessings, they will say, Krishne Matir Astu. This particular phrase is in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Madhya Lila. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling through South India, whenever he met anyone, everyone could perceive that he was a great saintly and very effulgent personality, a great sannyasi. And some, of course, understood he was Bhagavan, is Bhagavan, but many thought he was a very effulgent Advaitin, or because he had Ek Danda, symbol of Advaitin sannyasi, and they would ask for blessings. Oh, Sadhu Baba, oh saintly person, please give me your Ashirvad. Please speak words, Ashirvad. Vad means words. Please give me, speak some words of encouragement, some words of positive blessings for my life and my heart. So he would say, Krishne Matir Astu. Astu means Bhavatu. Bhavatu means let it be, let it happen. May it come to pass. Mati means intelligence, thinking, thoughts. May your thoughts be of Krishna. May you always think of Krishna. May you always remember Krishna. It's very nice blessings. When we ask our teacher for blessings, he doesn't have any blessings. He says, I don't have any blessings. But he says, I pray to Radharani. I pray to Radharani that she will bestow her full mercy on you. That's nice. Because if one of Radharani's Priya Sakis is praying for us, that's good. We're good with that. I pray to Radharani that she will bestow her for blessings because she's Karuna Mayi and Sarva Shakti Mayi. So she has a lot of power. As the Brijvasi Brahmins and Pandas, they say in Vrindavan, Krishna is Bhagavan. But Radharani is the supreme powerhouse. So we're reading from this commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti on text 30. He says, this verse is spoken by the gopis who are rivals, Pratipaksha of Srimati Radhika. Chandravali says, the footprints of this gopi give us great sorrow. She has stolen the lips of Achyuta, which should be tasted by all of us gopis, and she alone is enjoying Krishna's lips. By some unknown pious acts, that lusty woman brought Krishna under her control, so that Krishna abandoned us who actually have actual love for him. Oh, gopis afflicted with great sickness of envy. Oh, gopis afflicted with the great sickness of envy, do not lament. Here we do not see Radha's footprints. With this intention, Radha's intimate sakis like Lalita speak. So they're not speaking to each other. Lalita's, now Vishnath, he imagines that when Chandravati says, Chandravati, the anteparty says, oh, by some unknown pious acts, this lusty woman has taken Krishna under control and abandoned us. And we actually have love for him. And then listening to that, Lalita Sakhi says, oh, what are you saying? And then she looks at them and says, oh, gopis, don't, oh, gopis. She's, imagine, this is really heavy words. She says, oh, gopis. In other words, oh, Chandravali, oh, Padma, oh, Shaivya, oh, gopis, afflicted with a great sickness of envy. In other words, you're sick because you're actually so envious of our Radharani. That's why you're speaking like this, because of envy. And he says, oh, gopis afflicted with a great sickness of envy, do not lament. Here we do not see Radha's footprints. With this intention, Radha's intimate sakis like Lalita speak. It has to be Lalita. Because she's not afraid that there'll be any reply or anybody will take her on, you know. It's like she's ferocious. She's Prakara. She's Bhamya. She's Bhamya, which means very hot-headed and in opposition, but she's Bhamya Prakar. Prakar means really like becomes like ballistic. She becomes totally crazy when she's angry. And everyone knows that. Even Krishna runs in fear. It says in second canto, yad yad bibeti svayam. Even fear personified runs away from Krishna. But that Krishna runs away from two dangerous women. His mother, when he's a baby, a woman was chasing him with a stick. Namamishvaram sat chirananda rupam vasat kundalam gokule vrajaman Yashoda. Little Chota Damo. Damodar is running. Then he grows up. And again, ladies are chasing him. And this time it's Lalita, and she's not chasing him with a stick. She's chasing him with a club. And the club is her words. She's going to batter him and beat him with her words. So he runs away for life. Don't beat me. Lalita Bhiti. Radharani's name is, it's in Stavavali. Lalita Bhiti means one who shivers in fear of Lalita Sakhi. It's one of Radharani's names. Lalita Bhiti. Bhiti means bhayam. Bhiti. One who cowers and shivers in fear of Lalita. Radharani, don't give in to him. He's a dirt. He's a kapat. He's a cheater. No, but I love him so much. Shh, be quiet. Listen, when he comes here, just don't look at him. No. Okay. The rival gopis, however, reply negatively, gleefully looking at the other gopis and quietly speaking to them with ironic conjecture in the words beginning with Nunam. Embracing her with his two arms, Krishna has lifted her to his chest. Because being most dear, Prayasim, these are words to him, he could not bear the pain of her tender feet. By this, Radha gave her own group of intimate sakis two types of bliss. The happiness arising from seeing Radha's good fortune, and the happiness arising. By this, in other words, because the first half of the verse is spoken by the anti-party, and the second half is spoken by Radharani. It's a, what do you call it, comeback, or you know, parley. It's called parley when two people are talking. Dialogue or parley. Parlance or parley. You say, I say. You say, he said, she said, he says. So what's happening here? So the second half, they're saying, no, it's not like that, that some lusty woman, she took Krishna or she used Jadu. She's so special. You know why you don't see her footprints here? You only see Krishna's footprints? Because Krishna was so caring for her and so much fixed in her happiness and pleasure, he saw that her feet may be hurt by this tough grass and dried wheat stalks and things. So he picked her up. So by this Radha gave her own group of intimate sakis two types of bliss. The happiness arising from seeing Radha's good fortune because Krishna went along with her and even picked her up and carried her where the ground was difficult to walk on. And the gopis, like Lalita, got another second kind of happiness arising from seeing the sorrow of her rivals. So this is Vishnu's comments on text 30. Quite amazing, no doubt. That's why this book is thoroughly relishable. Sarta Darshini. There's some devotees, they never leave the 10th canto. They just stay there day and night. It's nice. Good place to get locked in, 10th canto. And when you see Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then Rupa Goswami Pada is talking about Panchanga Bhakti. Anga means limb or form, and panch means five. The five forms of bhakti, these are mukhya anga. These are the primary or most powerful limbs or powerful result producing limbs or practices of bhakti bhajan. One is Harinam Sankirtan, chanting Krishna's holy names. And the other is worshipping Thakurji, Murti Puja, with Shraddha, with faith, devotion, steadiness, and everything that goes with it. And the third thing is studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing, living, speaking, breathing, meditating on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vishnu Chakravarti, he elaborates on that in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, additional commentary. And in there he says, he made two commentaries, one on the verses and then a second book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. And there he says, because the limb about bhakti, I mean, Srimad Bhagavatam, says Srimad Bhagavat Shravan. One should hear the Bhagavatam. But he expands upon that and says, Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. Bhagavat Shravan Rasik Bhakta Sahasanga. Very easy to understand. One should hear Bhagavat Shravan. One should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of Rasik Jan. Very, very elevated devotees who are actually relishing the everything about the Bhagavatam. They're very rare to find such personalities. One such personality was Srila Anantadas, Pandit Sri Anantadas Babaji Maharaj. He was a great Rasik Vaishnav who would speak on Bhagavat and all the Goswami Granths with such insight and such revelation and intense feelings and sweetness and love because he's relishing that Ras. Rasa Swadhan. It's called Rasa Swadhan. Tasting and relishing the rasas of Krishna's and Radharani's Unat Ujvala Ras, that supreme form of love that's only found in Braj and only found in Radharani and only in her dealings and intimacies with Krishna. So this is the elaboration. So one point is, it says, live in Braj, hear the Bhagavatam. And so we're hearing the Bhagavatam from the lips of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And it's so wonderful. Oh, what I mean to say, that in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says, these are the five limbs to hear the Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami says in his commentary on that particular verse in part one of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 2, verse 2, I don't know, 60 or so, is before the discussion of Raghunuga Bhakti, 258 to 260, because Raghunuga Bhakti begins in verse 270 to 309. So there he says, what Rupa Goswami is intending to say here, when he says we should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, that sounds like the first canto of Bhagavatam. Nashta Preshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Seveya Bhagavadyutamash Loke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So there in the first canto of Bhagavatam, very beginning of the Bhagavatam, practically Mangalacharan, I think so, it says, this book should be heard every day, Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. We should hear the book and serve the book and speak the book and live the book every day. And we should serve and live and associate with the Bhagavats, the great devotees who are exemplars of the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So when Rupa Goswami mentions twice in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that the five most important limbs of bhakti, one of them is to hear the Bhagavatam. So when Jiva Goswami makes a commentary there in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, what Rupa Goswami is intending to say is, especially and specifically, the devotees should fix their minds on hearing 10th canto of Bhagavatam. This I mentioned in my Raghunuga Bhakti book. So he makes a very specific point. He says he doesn't mean just the whole Bhagavatam. He means the 10th canto. And knowing that verse, because Prabhupada himself, as you may know, he started translating in the 1960s when he was living in Sevakunj. This is in one book. There's a book in Prabhupada's archives that's available. It's called The Pioneer Days, something like that. The Pioneer Days is a big hardbound book someone donated to me. And in that book, it has a collection of Prabhupada's Back to Godhead magazines from 1960s, way before ISKCON. It has, in those Back to Godhead magazines, there's some Hindi publications are there, Bhagavad Darshan, and that title is Back to Godhead in English. So in 1960, 59-60, Prabhupada started translating the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse by verse. It was 1960s or so. And later on, it's interesting enough, because they used to meet together, Bhakti Ridoy Ban Maharaj and Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj and Goswami Maharaj. There's another person called somebody, Bhakti somebody, Goswami Maharaj, because Goswami is a sannyas title. Swami Maharaj or Goswami. Another person named Goswami Maharaj and a fourth person named Pandit Sri Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, Mera Gurudev. And then they would all four meet together to discuss writing and preaching Krishna Katha and Krishna consciousness in English. So Prabhupada started verse by verse Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and you can see there in this Pioneer Days and this Back to Godhead magazine. So there he's translating these verses. So therefore Prabhupada knew how important that this was. Then about the same time or a little later, Ban Maharaj also started translating verse by verse. But he didn't know Sanskrit very well, and he couldn't understand the Tikas at all, because it's a very difficult Sanskrit of Jiva and Vishwanath. So he hired one Sanskrit pundit, to translate all the commentaries and the book itself. And this pundit's name is Pandit Sri Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And his name is in the preface and introduction, two places. And he signed I have a copy of that book in English by Ban Maharaj, and Gurudev signed it. Special treasure. And so this is a very important point, because Prabhupada, when he was translating and speaking on the Bhagavat, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he read this verse, the 10th canto is the most important. Jiva Goswami is saying, yes, you should hear the Bhagavatam, you'll get prema. Says Alpasparsha, 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 Bhav Upajai. Said any of these five things, Alpasparsha, Bhav Upajai, a slight contact with the Bhagavat, with the holy name, Murti Puja, Brajadam, or Sarasanga, then Bhav can arise or manifest in the heart. Let's say a manifest in the heart, appear in the heart. So knowing that, when Prabhupada went to New York, practically the second book that he translated into English and made available to the public was Krishna Book. It was published in 1968. So that Krishna Book is the 10th canto. From the very beginning of the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada was putting forth front and center, emphasizing and putting forth front and center of the Hare Krishna movement, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, which means Krishna Leela. So somehow between 1968 and 2068, the 10th canto in the Bhagavatam was, rather than the forefront and the first most important book of that Hare Krishna movement, has come back to the, you know, backside somewhere. Oh, don't read this. It's danger. That was the first book we got in 1974, and this I was my good fortune. I understood that this is the essence. So we'll continue tomorrow on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahaparana Ki.